Good morning. How many people are thankful to be here today? And how many people are thankful for the sunshine? Yeah, no kidding. Let's start off. Let's just start off by committing our time to the Lord and asking him to guide our thoughts and to speak to us what he wants us to hear this morning. So let me just start us off by praying. Heavenly Father, thank you so incredibly much that we can call you Father, that you're our Father, that you're the good Father, and that you have provided a way for us to be made right with you again, Father, to be part of your family, part of your kingdom, Father, and we just thank you for that. Father, we pray that you would direct our thoughts towards the things that are important to you this morning, that we would truly hear from you this morning. We pray these things in the powerful name of Jesus.
Martin is from the Mok people group of Papua New Guinea and is a missionary to the nearby Lusi people. In 2010, his wife died, yet he returned to reach the Lusi people. When asked why he returned, he replied,
"There are two reasons. First, I wanted to be a part of reaching out to the Lusi people, because if they are unsaved, they will die and go to a Christless eternity. I don't want to see that happen. I want to see them hear the good news of God's word. Second, as a testimony to my children. I wanted them to know that the work of God is a very important thing, that they would see me not giving up, even despite hardships, but that I would continue on in God's will and work for me. Since my wife has died, my day-to-day existence has been very difficult, but I count that as a small price to pay in order to see the gospel go to the unsaved Lusi people, for the work of Christ to save their souls, to take them out of Satan's hand, and save them from a Christless eternity."
Vision. I'm intrigued by this word vision that expresses our desires and purpose, governs what we do and how we do it. Martin had a really clear picture of what his vision was, and it governed what he did and how he lived. Vision expresses our desire and purpose, desires, gives us eyes to see what could be, reflects our values, and governs what we do, keeps us focused. You ever wonder what God's vision is? God's vision for the world, for humanity, for NCF, for his church? For us, God's vision, God's will, we could say, goes all the way back to the beginning of the book, the Bible. God created us in the image of God. He created us, we're the only creation that he created to have relationship with him, created in his image. And he created us to work with him in his creation. Think about Adam, given the task of naming the animals, and Adam and Eve taking care of the garden, growing the garden. We're created in God's image to work with him in his creation and to have relationship with him. All of this came to a crashing halt because of sin, because of the disobedience of Adam and Eve. But God did not give up on humanity. In fact, the rest of the Bible unfolds God's plan for God, at his expense, to redeem us and to bring him back to himself. One of the pieces of that story, of that redemption story, is Abraham. God's promise to Abraham was that he would bless the whole world through him. From our vantage point, we know that blessing comes through Jesus. God's will, then we could say, is that all of mankind be blessed through Jesus, through knowing about Jesus, hearing about Jesus, and having the opportunity to trust him. The opportunity that God wants us to take to have abundant life in this life and a forever life with him in the next. Most of you know us, but for those of you who don't know us, we're Gary and Cynthia. Cynthia is not with me today. She's at a women's retreat. Our claim to fame here at NCF is Caleb. We love our sons, Kevin and Caleb. I love being a dad. I joke with my boys, but I'm serious. I love being their dad, but I'm also their brother, and I enjoy both roles a lot. We love being a part of NCF. I love that God has brought us here to this church. Cynthia and I have served and are still serving with the mission organization Ethnos 360, used to be NTM or New Tribes Mission. We have served with Ethnos 360 for over 30 years in five countries, Venezuela, Panama, Paraguay, Philippines, and the U.S. What we have loved is being a part of this, being a part of evangelizing unreached people groups, facilitating, and I'll tell you how in a minute, translating the scriptures and seeing indigenous churches established for the glory of God. Churches that glorify God, that are planting other churches. The guiding vision, again, the power of vision, the guiding vision of Ethno 360 is to see a thriving church for every people. Our vision, our family's vision in that, was to provide transportation to the church planters and the local indigenous church that was reaching out and sharing the good news. We loved to be a part of the gospel impacting people. In Venezuela, our first country of service, we served a group of people called the Yuanas. The Yuanas lived in the depths of the jungle. Before our time in Venezuela, missionaries in Venezuela heard rumors of this people group, and they wanted to give the Yuanas a shot at eternity with Jesus, and so they went looking for the Yuanas. They left the town they were living in, left by boat, headed up the Orinoco River. They traveled for days and weeks till they got to the Ventuari River, took a left on to the Ventuari River, and again traveled for days to the headwaters of the Ventuari River until they came to the Canyu Iguana River. And again, they took another left and headed up the Iguana River. This time, travel got a little more difficult as they encountered difficult and treacherous rapids. But eventually, they found the Yuana people. They realized right away that in order to reach the Yuanas, they would need another better form of transportation. And so they built an airstrip. They used an airplane to transport and supply these missionaries and the missionary effort. Cynthia and I had the privilege of serving these missionaries by flying them and their supplies in and out of Canyu Iguana, by doing medevac flights for the Yuanas, doing whatever we could so that the Yuanas could hear the good news of the gospel. We helped the missionaries trade weeks on the river for an hour in the air so that the Yuanas could hear the gospel. I remember vividly flying into Canyu Iguana the day the gospel was to be shared with the Yuana people for the very first time ever. After years and years of the missionaries learning the Yuana language, the missionaries were finally on the brink of sharing the gospel, the good news, with these people in the only language they understood, Ioana. Learning the Ioana language was an extraordinarily huge task, difficult task. The Ioanas, you see, are monolingual. That means they only spoke Ioana. They didn't speak English or Spanish or any other trade language. And there was no one else in the world that we knew of that spoke Ioana. And so you can imagine the incredible perseverance needed, the difficulty of learning that language. But the missionaries wanted to share the hope of the gospel with the Ioanas. Once the missionaries had learned the language, they began sharing the story of the Bible with the Ioanas, beginning in Genesis again and working their way through explaining the story of redemption as revealed in God's word. I flew to Kanyuguana with supplies and people the day that they were hearing about Jesus' death on their behalf for the first time ever. I sat with the Ioanas as they heard the gospel for the first time ever. I watched as the Ioanas comprehended for the first time ever that Jesus was the perfect Lamb of God and that he willingly died in their place so they could enjoy a relationship with God now and forever. I watched as the first Ioanas entered the kingdom of God. What an incredible privilege to see that. As I contemplated that, I realized that this was only possible because of the many, many, many people, churches like NCF, spread out across continents that had worked together to get the good news to the Ioanas. And I also realized that the airplane had played a very key role in that. So this is the vision, the guiding vision that God has given Cynthia and I to provide transportation to expand the reach of the gospel, be the feet of the gospel. I remember another story, another country, another day. This time we were living in the Philippines on the island of Mindanao, serving missionaries and the local indigenous church, again, by providing transportation to them. On this day, I was to take Lance and Laura to their jungle home where they were continuing to translate the scriptures. Their home, Bandahan, a little village in a valley surrounded by mountains and jungle. Bandahan, the home of the Igaonan people. Lance and Laura and their partners, their team, had spent years working in Bandahan, learning the difficult language of the Igaonan. They had shared God's word, again, starting in Genesis, and sharing God's word as he reveals it in his word. Sharing the story of redemption with the Bandahan people, with the Igaonan. A church was born in Bandahan, the Igaonan church. The Ioanan believers were now reaching out to other villages of their own people and cross-culturally to other ethnicities. Disciples making disciples. That's the vision of the Ioanan church. That's their guiding vision. On this particular day, remember I was flying Lance and Laura into Bandahan. The weather wasn't good. We waited around and eventually God opened up the weather so that I could get Lance and Laura into Bandahan. I had just landed when the weather closed back in again and I was stuck in Bandahan for a couple of days. My initial disappointment at my forced change of plans turned into some of the best time and days I've spent with believers. For the next couple of days, my Igaonan brothers and sisters fed me, they took care of me, they shared with me through the translator, the missionary, how incredibly, incredibly thankful they were that God had sent the missionaries to share the gospel, the good news with them. Their life had been a life of darkness, of fear, of incredible difficulty, and no hope. They were so very thankful that somebody came to send them, share the gospel with them, that set them free and allowed them to enter God's kingdom, life. I was amazed at their understanding of God's word and their thankfulness for that word. I was also amazed at their understanding of the fact that it takes the whole body of Christ to reach the world, to reach a village like theirs. They understood that it took a team of missionaries, a whole team of missionaries, to bring them the gospel. Missionaries who, for example, purchased supplies for Lance and Laura and their team, who did the government and visa paperwork necessary to have permission to work in the Philippines, in the village there. Missionaries who were pilots and mechanics who provided transportation so that Lance and Laura and their team could be there to learn the language and share the gospel. They understood that it took a whole lot of people working together to bring the gospel to them. They also understood that there were churches back home, churches like NCF, people back home like yourselves, that made it possible for Lance and Laura and the other missionaries to be there to share the gospel with them. They understood that there were people back home that were praying and giving and encouraging so that the missionaries could be there. In fact, the Igaonan believers wanted to be sure that I went back to my people, you, and shared with you how thankful they were that you sent us, that those churches back home sent missionaries to share the gospel with them. These Igaonan brothers and sisters understood that it took the whole body of Christ, the church, to bring them the gospel, and they will be forever thankful. So our role there in the Philippines, as in other countries, was to provide transportation, feet to the gospel. But our role there in the Philippines was actually bigger than just us providing transportation. We were also there to train the next generation of missionary aviators to take our place. We fell in love with the young families that we trained, the millennials who had passion, energy, and vision to carry on what we had started. We saw the importance of passing it on, of multiplying ourselves by investing in the next generation of missionaries and missionary aviators. Cynthia and I, our family, we could do a bit of work, but together we could do a whole lot more. So it's a pretty easy transition to come to Moody Aviation. I'm a Moody Aviation grad. It's pretty easy to come here and think of investing in the next generation. We're still missionaries with Ethnos 360, serving. About two-thirds of us that serve at Moody Aviation are missionaries with other mission organizations, supported in prayer and financially by churches like NCF, individuals like yourself. Our vision is the vision of Moody to make the gospel available for every person. And the mission of Moody and Moody Aviation is to provide training to those people who are going to be transporting the gospel. We have loved being able to invest, to pass on the lessons, technically and life lessons, that God has entrusted to us, pass them on to the next generations so that they can do what we did, only better. Last month, Cynthia and I had the privilege of traveling to Brazil. We traveled to Brazil with Sam and Alex. Sam recently graduated from Moody Aviation, and they are excited about investing what God has entrusted them with, and they want to invest in seeing the gospel shared throughout Brazil. Sam and Alex are planning to work with an organization called Missão do Céu, Mission of Heaven. It's a young Brazilian organization, a very, very cool organization that has a vision to reach Amazonas, the state of Amazonas in Brazil, with the gospel. Using airplanes, again, to transport the good news. There's some things that you need to understand about Brazil to appreciate the magnitude of their vision. Amazonas, the state that they want to reach, is huge. It's 2.5 times the size of Texas. I just checked this out. Starting in El Paso, driving to Beaumont, across Texas, would take you about 12 hours at freeway speeds. So think 2.5 times that. It's almost 30 hours to cross Brazil, the state of Amazonas, if there were freeways. But there's not freeways. The only thing out there, the only infrastructure out there, is these rivers that meander across Amazonas. So how in the world do you reach a state that size without infrastructure? And the magnitude of their vision, the areas in red there are areas where only 10% of the people that live there have heard or have access to the gospel. The dark yellow ones there, less than 20%. The red is less than 10%. The yellow there, darker yellow, less than 20%. You get the picture. There, this is a huge area with a vacuum. There's no gospel there. And so the vision of MDC is to partner with other organizations and use a small, by using small airplanes to take the gospel further throughout Amazonas. That's the mission of MDC, and that's the mission that we were there to support and encourage. We loved investing in the young team there at MDC. We loved and have loved investing in Sam and Alex during their time at Moody. Loved taking them there. We love playing the part of the body that God made us to play. But God wants to use each one of us uniquely, it's part of his body, to reach the world with his good news. So let's take our last bit of time here to talk, to circle back to vision, God's vision. What's God's vision for people for his church. And of course, we all want to know what's God's vision or desire? What's his will for us individually? Remember that God told Abraham that he would bless the whole world through him. We know from our vantage point that that blessing is Jesus. Jesus is our Redeemer and our only chance out of this present darkness into the kingdom of light. God desires to bless every person everywhere with that gospel. Let me just read 1 Timothy 2. Two through seven. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. And here's the part that I want to highlight. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. God's desire is for the whole world to hear about Jesus, to be blessed by Jesus. In fact, Revelation 5:9 talks about the fact that someday, somebody from every tribe, tongue, and nation, somebody from every ethnos or ethnicity will worship him. They will worship him because they have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. God's desire is that every person hears the good news. And of course, he's given this this great commission. He's invited the church, has chosen the church to be the ones to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the ends of the age." God wants to use a church to reach the world. We love being a part of NCF. Love the vision of NCF, making disciples who make disciples. And our family has personally been hugely blessed by this disciples making disciples. You guys have poured into Caleb, my son, our son. What an incredible blessing. I'm so thankful for that. I've also been grateful to be a part of some elder training sessions, meetings, and been part of Pastor Mark and Barry, Pastor Barry and Pastor Matt teaching disciples to make disciples. That's the mission of the church, to make disciples who make disciples. That's our guiding vision and the mission of the church. That vision starts here in Spokane, but we're invited into that vision as that vision spreads to all of the world. But what about God's vision for me? How does God's vision affect me? If you think about it, we are God's children, God's sons and daughters, and so it only stands to reason that God's vision is also our vision. But how does that play out for us? How do I fit into God's vision? Remember that you and I are created in God's image. we're first of all created to have a relationship with him. God desires to have a relationship with us. And then we're created to work with him in his world. Let me just read 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That's who we are, new creation fellowship. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling us and the world to himself, not counting our trespasses against us, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God made his appeal through us. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Incredible. God, the creator of the universe, God, our Father, wants to partner with us in getting the good news out. We have been given the amazing gift of redemption, of being a part of God's family. And now God says, as he said to the disciples, to John and James and Peter, join me as I minister and as I go out. God's inviting us to be a part of what he's doing in his world. So in closing, let me just read one more verse here. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. God's desire is that someone, and God's desires are not like our desires, God is doing this, and he's using us to do this. God's desire is that someone from every ethnicity, every language group, enjoys his blessings, enjoys his grace, so that they bow down and worship him, bow down and thank him. God desires people everywhere to hear his good news. So the question for us is, what's your God vision? What's my God vision? I look at us and we're already involved in what God is doing. Discipling the next generation, being salt and light in the places that God has placed us. But God wants to keep expanding and growing us. He's inviting us further into that great commission to make disciples. This week, I work at a school, so I'm going to give you an assignment. Your choice whether or not you take it. But this week, ask God, how are you inviting me deeper into being a part of getting the word out? How are you using me with my gifts, the way you've made me and where you've put me to be part of getting the gospel out? Ask God what your part is, then play it hard, play it well, and play it with joy. So let's just close with prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you with incredible gratefulness. Gratefulness for your grace to us, for at your expense, for making a way for us to again be made right with you, for us to be able to again be part of your family, part of your kingdom, And Father, what an amazing thing it is that you've invited us to be a part of what you're doing in your world. We love you, Jesus, because you loved us first. Amen.